already walking away. "While I am here, I was wondering if I could purchase a backpack." The lady didn't answer for a few minutes, but came back after tending to the robes for a short while.
"You can pick up the robes in a couple days. You were smart not to try and haggle. You can't rush art nor cheapen it. About that bag, you can look in the pile over there. I think it was in that pile. It might be that one, or..."
She waved at a heap of various fabrics. Joe swallowed and moved toward what appeared to be a mound of everything in the store that was even remotely made of cloth. It took a few minutes, but he found a decent backpack and bought it. "I don't suppose you have something like a bag which is larger on the inside, or reduces the weight of what is inside it?" Joe inquired hopefully. Bags of holding were staples in games, and he needed something similar if he wanted to carry much more than a few small trophies.
"Sure do. I have a few spatial rings. Not exactly a bag, but often better in my humble opinion. Now, sadly, I can't sell these to just anyone. They became restricted after smugglers started using them to bring drugs into areas populated by nobility. Now you can only get one if you are a merchant, have need of one for a legitimate reason, or if a merchant like myself personally vouches for you and is held accountable for your actions."
The old lady smiled a toothless grin at him.
"Feel free to try and convince me, though. Been a while since a customer got frisky."
Joe shuddered and glanced around the shop, trying to look anywhere but at the lady giggling at his discomfiture. Odds and Ends was the name of the place, and also a good way to describe the shop. It was a disorganized mix of items, and if it were a little messier, it could just as easily be called a landfill.
"What if I were to work for you? I could organize your entire shop and keep it that way perpetually."
"Perpetually? That's a good one, youngster. I guarantee I can turn anything into a cluttered mess."
She thought a moment.
"How about a bet? If you can make it happen, that would work for me. I'll admit, business has been slow. Not too many people feel like sorting through bins in order to find what they're looking for. Lazy bums. If you can't do it, you work here for free for a week."
"Deal." Joe was quick to accept the bargain, though privately he thought that the term lazy should perhaps be directed at the shop owner who didn't bother to organize the goods in the first place. He bought a bag and a few jars from her, then stepped outside. Hurrying back to the smith, he collected the silver wire and ordered the same amount for pickup tomorrow. He also bought a skinning knife and asked where he could find monster cores. The smith laughed in his face.
"Cores? You better hope you've got deep pockets, lad. You can try the alchemist, mercenaries, or the mage's college."
He was still laughing to himself as Joe walked away. Joe decided that the alchemist was the person to talk to first. He walked into the shop and had to cover his mouth to keep from being sick. The potent chemicals, along with his better-than-average sense of smell, made him feel ill instantly.
"Can I help you? You're going to be sick? If so, step outside, please."
A man who appeared to be Joe's age stepped into the main room, looking only mildly concerned about Joe's health.
"I'm fine,"
Joe coughed, trying to clear his airways. He started to breathe through his mouth in order to give his nose a rest.
"I am looking for monster cores. I need 2 low-grade cores for a project I'm working on."
"2? You sure are ambitious. I can get them for you, but they will cost 30 gold each."
The man spoke in a soft monotone, as if he were trying not to wake up a small child. Joe almost choked at the insane price quoted. That was the equivalent of $300 apiece.
"Is there any way to get them a bit cheaper?"
"Yes."
"Oh? How?"
"By going elsewhere."
"Oh." Joe tried again. "If I can get them cheaper elsewhere, why do you sell them at higher prices?"
The young man smiled gently.
You can get them from mercenaries for as low as 25, if you don't mind waiting a few weeks. You will need to bribe them if you want to ensure you get your order in a timely manner as well. From the college, you can get them as low as 20 gold, but only if you are a student and have a professor-approved project you are working on. Here, you are paying for the stone as well as convenience.
Understood. Why are they so expensive?
Joe sighed and pulled out banknotes totaling 30 gold. He would need to visit the bank again.
You are about to find out.
The alchemist handed Joe a glittering gem, and when it landed in his palm, a notification appeared.
Low-grade monster core found. Would you like to convert this into experience points? Current worth, 500 experience points.
500 points?
Joe gasped at the gem in his hand.
This is a low grade?
Yup. The most efficient way to become powerful that has ever been found.
The alchemist sighed and looked at the stone longingly.
Of course, there are a ton of uses for them. Spells, enchantments, potions, you name it. Almost all jobs require them, to some degree. Hence, expensive and hard to acquire.
Thank you for selling to me.
Joe looked longingly at the core one more time and stuffed it into his bag.
I'll be back for the other one tomorrow. I seem to be short on funds.
The alchemist nodded and returned to work while Joe walked out. Core, wire, and mana were all set. Now, all Joe needed was a zombie brain. He walked over to the guild tavern, only to be met with concern. Tiona walked up to him threateningly.
I couldn't find you at the library. What happened? Where did you go?
I needed to do a bit of shopping for a quest. Joe looked around at a few people who were bleeding and groaning.
You need to learn how to listen, Joe. You'd think that being in the army would have beat that into you. Hurry up and get to healing.
Tiona gestured angrily at the injured guildmates. Joe walked around and healed everyone that needed it, surprisingly getting a notification at the end.
Skill increased. Lay on hands. Novice 2. As lay on hands is a variant of heal, the skill heal also gains experience as this one does. Skill increased. Heal. Novice 2.
Joe was filled with a nimbus of silver light, and a euphoria not unlike leveling washed over him. He wasn't washed or healed, but his mind felt refreshed. Tiona watched him and grinned faintly as she remembered the feel of increasing your skills.
All right, I forgive you. Just be glad no one died when they were expecting help.
Sorry, T. Joe grinned at her a bit nervously. Would you do me a favor?
Don't try and give me nicknames. What do you want?
Tiona's voice contained a warning growl.
I need 2 undamaged heads from the zombies. Joe held up his hands as she started to protest. I'd go do it myself, but I doubt you want me to go out while the guilds are fighting. I need them for quests.
Tiona perked up when she heard the word quest.
Are these quests where multiple people can be rewarded, or...
Joe shook his head. They are preliminary profession quests. So unless you want to be a scholar, I don't...
Hard pass.
Tiona shuddered with great exaggeration.
You owe me one, but I'll go get your zombie heads. Wait here, and don't go wandering off again, or I will beat you with a rotten rabbit.
It took almost 20 minutes, but she came back with 2 heads that were dripping fluids. Tossing them to Joe, she commented,
Harder to keep intact than they should be.
I just need the brain intact, Joe mentioned offhandedly as he pulled out his new skinning knife. His health suddenly took a hit.
Ow!
It bit me!
Still technically undead. Also, the brains? How are you planning to store them?
Tiona seemed interested in the process and came closer to watch.
I have a couple jars. Joe healed himself and pulled out the glass containers, setting them to the side.
Should put them in water or something. A preservative if you want them to last for any length of time.
Tiona's words brought Joe up short, and he cracked his knuckles as he rethought his class choice once again. Ritual magic took forever to prepare.
Could you ask the kitchen if they have any oil I could buy?
Tiona came back a few minutes later and filled the jars with unused olive oil. Joe looked at the cloudy fluid, then, in a fit of inspiration, he cast cleanse. The magic swept through the oil, pulling out small particles which had mixed into the oil, such as dust.
Didn't think that would work. Neat.
Joe cracked open the skulls as gently as possible, treating the brain like a barely boiled egg. The brains plopped into the oil, sinking about halfway before floating.
All right, all done.
What are you doing on my table?
The barkeep was suddenly looming over them and looking at the mess of fur, rotten meat, and fluids that were on the previously clean table. Joe and Tiona had to clean and scrub the table or risk losing reputation for their guild. The entire time, Joe looked apologetic while Tiona glared at him ferociously. He had a feeling that he was going to regret having her help him. When they were done, Joe informed her that he would be going to the odds and ends shop, then back to the library, just in case the guild needed to find him in a hurry. Almost running away from the tavern and the wrathful Tiona, Joe quickly entered the shop and began looking around for a good place to carve the symbol that was needed for the ritual. After looking at a few possible locations, he decided that the carving would have to be either on a shelf or the floor. Determining that it was unlikely that the floor would move, he pushed a shelf out of the way and started cutting into the wood. Luckily, the symbol was fairly basic, just a star bounded by a double circle. His lack of dexterity started to come into play, and he cut himself 3 times, also ruining the symbol again and again. When he was finally able to make a passable version after the 3rd try, he wiped his brow and walked across the store a few times to judge how much wire he would need to provide. Thanks to the perks of his class, he should be able to get away with putting in half as much silver as the ritual required. Joe piled all of the wire, the core, and the brain onto the carving. Since this was a simple ritual, he needed no chanting or complicated movements. Only an influx of mana was required. He touched the place on the outer circle which the book called the activation sequence and tried to begin the ritual. Mana poured out of him when he got the activation correct, a feeling similar to bleeding heavily. Joe began to feel tired, then drained, finally exhausted. 3/4 of his total mana pool was required, and he had never needed to use so much at a time before. He was panting heavily and almost ready to drop, but the ritual seemed to have worked. This was confirmed a moment later as the components vanished, leaving behind a jar of oil and a much depleted core.
Ritual Little Sister's Cleaning Service created. Area of effect, radius of 40 feet. Components used, silver wire, low-grade monster core, 49.9%, poorly preserved zombie rabbit brain. Once active, this ritual will last 3 years. The poorly preserved brain has added 2 years to the ritual's length. Due to the brain coming from a weak zombie rabbit with poor processing ability, organization will proceed at speed, slow. Activate now? Yes. No. So using better quality materials than needed would make the ritual more potent? Good to know.
Joe selected yes, and the ritual circle brightened for a moment before fading. He put the oil back in his bag and grabbed the core. He smiled as the bright gem offered him experience points, then put it in his bag as well. Turning around, he walked to the counter and smiled at the ancient lady.
That should do it. Your shop is being organized as we speak.
When will it be fully organized?
The lady questioned with a sweet smile.
Most likely tomorrow? Joe ducked as a pair of boots flew over his head.
The ritual was working.
Then come back for your reward tomorrow,
she cackled at his disgruntled look.
Anything else, young'un?
Yeah. Do you have any ornamental bookends?
Joe purchased 2 sets of wooden bookends, hoping they would go unnoticed in a library. He left her shop and walked over to the alchemist's laboratory. The calm-faced alchemist looked up as Joe walked in, raising a brow at his return.
I didn't expect you until tomorrow. Come for another core already? Goodness me, you must be making money hand over fist.
No, but I like that you think highly of me. I was wondering if you had any preserved zombie brains. I'm not too concerned with what they are from, but the more intelligent they were, the better.
Joe tried to hide his exhaustion behind a smile. His mana was returning quickly thanks to his wisdom, but he was still feeling the physical effects of the ritual draining his mana so quickly.
Zombie brains. That is a rare order.
The alchemist tapped his book a couple times. He hesitated before speaking.
I suppose I have two items that may suit your needs, but one of them is held as a controlled substance. That would be the human zombie brain. If a human were to get the contamination in their blood, their race would change to a zombie. This could be bad, as we are in a highly populated city. Not great for business if your customers are trying to eat you. I hope you understand. The other brain is from a bear, and you can walk out with it as long as you agree not to feed it to any bears. Is that acceptable?
The alchemist spoke in a calm monotone, but his words and nonchalance toward a plague of zombies made him seem more than a little deranged. Joe looked at the alchemist in a new light. What would I need to do to use the human brain?
So you are planning to use it for something, I have heard that your guild is at war with another. Are you trying to plant this somewhere to wipe them out?
There was now a wide smile growing on his face.
Start a zombie outbreak in their guild house? Have the guard wipe them out and make them hated by the city to the point they need to disband?
He was breathing heavily, and his cheeks were flushed. Joe was now a bit concerned for his safety.
I need it for a spell? To complete a quest?
Oh. No plotting? No dark deeds done at midnight?
The alchemist's face returned to its neutral state.
Well, I'm sorry to say that it is a restricted item. The brain can't leave my shop.
That's fine!
Joe's voice broke. This man was really throwing off his expectations and making him uncomfortable.
If I can use it here, can I buy it?
50 silver. My name is Jake, by the way. Thanks for asking.
Jake the alchemist seemed to find pleasure in seeing Joe's face flush.
I need to make some preparations.
Joe pulled out one of the bookends and started the process of cutting a symbol into it. His first two tries failed, but the star in a double circle slowly took shape on the third set. When it was finished, Joe wiped the blood from his sliced fingers, piled the half-used core and silver wire onto the ritual circle before looking expectantly at Jake.
Money first.
Jake held out a hand.
Really? That was the holdup?
Joe chuckled and handed over the silver. Hadn't he had plans to save money for a long time? Oh well, it needed to be done, and there was plenty more in the bank. Jake handed over a glass container with a brain in it, and Joe read the information that appeared when he tried to examine it.
Knowledge check failed. Failure overridden due to being in a shop, and the data has been provided by shop owner. Zombie brain, human, perfectly preserved. Spell component, ingredient, forcible race change item.
Not a lot of data, but at least it got the point across. Joe added it to the pile of items on the circle and braced himself. Taking a few calming breaths, he put his hand on the activation area and started to inject mana into the system. Once again, when his mana stopped flowing, all of the items vanished, except for the jar and the core.
Ritual, Little Sister's Cleaning Service created. Area of effect, radius of 450 feet. Components used, silver wire, low-grade monster core, 49.9%, perfectly preserved human zombie brain. Once active, this ritual will last 16 years. The preserved brain has added 15 years to the length. due to the brain coming from a strong zombie human with excellent processing ability, organization will proceed at speed, very fast. Activate now. Yes. No.
Joe selected no, and looked up at a feverishly grinning Jake. Jake tried to act nonchalant, but Joe was instantly wary.
So, what kind of ritual was that? I haven't heard of anyone creating a ritual since before the human territories were elevated away from the other races. The way your face contorted in agony as your mana was reduced to such a low amount. Exquisite.
He shuddered, and so did Joe, though for a different reason. It's a spell that cleans a place for years at a time, Joe forced himself to speak. I found the ritual in the library. It said that anyone can create rituals. Is it really so strange? Jake cocked his head to the side.
Strange? No. Well, a bit strange. The real question is, how massive is your mana pool? To create a ritual takes vast reserves of power, and the load is usually split between multiple people, is it not? I won't pry for now, but I'm very interested in seeing how your journey progresses. Have a good day. Mine has been very interesting so far.
Joe walked out of the shop, feeling like he had somehow made a serious mistake. Chapter 11. The library was just as he had left it. Apparently, it wasn't an overly popular destination for the populace. Since travelers were barred from entering without a recommendation, it wasn't particularly surprising that it remained empty for the majority of the day. Nodding at the head librarian, he walked into the book stacks and tried to determine where the center was. Deciding that a rough estimate was the best he could do, Joe placed the bookend on a shelf and selected the activate option. As with the last ritual, a bright light filled the ritual before quickly dulling to obscurity. Joe picked up the book of rituals, deciding to go through it a bit more carefully while he waited. He sat down and just so happened to look up as the ritual began to take effect. Books flew off the shelves, flying to various piles and waiting for their assigned area to be determined. As the area impacted by the ritual grew, the air became clogged with flying leather-bound books. Joe was glad he was sitting, because he would have surely been hit at least a few times otherwise. For a few moments, he was worried. The books were old and moving very quickly. Would they become damaged? The answer appeared to be no, luckily for his health and desire to stay out of prison. Once all the books were off the shelves, a complex weave of moving knowledge was created. For nearly an hour, the books shuffled themselves and reorganized. At one point, the ritual tried to gently pull the ritual book out of Joe's hands, but the simple act of holding it a bit tightly seemed to show that he wanted it to remain where it was, so the ritual let him be. As more of the shelves were organized, the ritual was able to move faster. The last few books zipped to their new position so fast that they would have damaged his hit points if he were in the way. A strangled yell came from the entrance, and a few more books flew in. Uh-oh. Joe recognized a few of those. They had been in a pile on the head librarian's desk. The man himself bustled into the room, face red. He was about to shout in rage, but instead sputtered to a stop as he looked around at all of the neatly organized shelves.
But... Oh!
He turned on Joe, who did his best to look innocent. I found a very efficient way to sort and order the books, is all. I made sure that nothing got damaged. Joe smiled happily at Boris, who was grinding his teeth in fury.
This quest was supposed to show me your determination and help boost your skill in reading,
Boris muttered unhappily.
No one has ever actually sorted the entire first floor. That should have taken years to do right.
So are you saying that I am actually the very first person to complete the quest correctly? Joe watched the reaction of the librarian closely. Boris's face was squirming, his eyelid was twitching, and he looked like he had eaten something rotten.
Well, first, how did you arrange everything? I need to make sure you did a satisfactory job.
Rolling his eyes, Joe moved to a shelf. The effect I created is based not only upon intent, but the actual formation of the spell pattern. Since this is a fairly specific job, I made sure to include instructions for the sorting and placement of the books. First, they are ordered by content and color. Then, if they are a similar subject, they are grouped together. I had to do it that way since very few of them have an author name or title, which is why the color of the book is taken into account. At least that way we can always find the book in the same spot. Just look for where its color should appear on the gradient.
Always? You don't mean to tell me that this is an ongoing effect?
Boris pulled a book off the shelf and placed it on the table. It didn't move, so he glanced up at Joe, then down at the book.
Doesn't look like it.
Well, you are using the book. Joe smiled at Boris, who looked a bit confused. Are you done with it?
Sure.
Boris flinched as the book zipped back to its position on the shelves. He stared at it for a long moment.
How remarkable. How long will this effect last?
16 years. Boris coughed dramatically at Joe's words, collapsing into a chair and looking at Joe as if he had kicked his dog.
Years!
Boris grabbed his beard and pulled on it.
Well, I can certainly see that you don't do things with half measures. I suppose this shows your dedication and determination. I can't imagine this was easy to do. Your reading skill will likely stagnate unless you use your own time to enhance it, but that was simply a fringe benefit of this work. I judge your task complete.
Boris had his eyes closed as he said words that no other librarian had ever needed to utter for this particular task before.
Quest complete. Footsteps through history, 1. Where others follow the footsteps of the old masters, you create your own legacy. Hidden requirement met. Quest completion above 100%. Calculating rewards. Reputation with scholars, plus 1,000. Profession experience, 500. Held until profession unlocked. Skill points, plus 2. Intelligence, plus 1. Spectacles of the scholar, held until profession unlocked. Experience, 1,000. 500 from quest, 500 from completion of hidden requirement.
I'm going to be a laughing stock. People are going to think that I cheated to let you complete this quest.
Boris muttered darkly, tugging harder on his beard.
Neither of us cheated, Mr. Boris.
Joe shook his head.
In fact, it is only due to the knowledge I acquired while sorting these books that I was able to complete the quest.
What? Hell?
Boris shot to his feet and looked like he was ready to grab Joe and shake the information out of him.
I found a book on rituals while sorting and was able to complete one of them. It sorts and organizes items, Joe explained carefully.
There was a magic grimoire in here?
Boris seemed disturbed by this revelation.
Can't let the Mage's College know about this. I have no plans to be sanctioned. Where is it now?
Here. Joe handed over the book, and Boris grabbed it and flipped through the pages.
You used these. That's...
Boris took a deep breath.
Ridiculous. This is an exaggerated primer on rituals, designed to show how inefficient, wasteful, and useless they are. Here! Take it with you. I don't want it in my library. Just don't mention to any mages that this is where you got it. They have a strict monopoly on the sale of magical knowledge. Even that drivel.
Joe looked at the near-hyperventilating librarian who was running his hands through his hair. Joe cleared his throat.
Ahem. Well, I was wondering if you had another task for me.
Boris looked up,
nearly growling a reply.
I'll tell you about it, but I warn you it will be very difficult without having your profession unlocked. You have been sorting through accumulated knowledge, but in order for our profession to grow, so must our collection. Your task will be to return with a work of knowledge that is not already contained within our library. I can't give you many hints, because if I knew where some might be, I would have already acquired them.
Quest alert. Footsteps through history, 2. Ongoing. Bring lost knowledge to the head librarian. This can take the form of art, books, blueprints, or knowledge of any type. Quest rewards will depend on the type and importance of your findings. Accept? Yes. No.
After accepting the quest, Joe decided that he was ready for bed. It had been a full day, and a good dinner followed by a long sleep sounded lovely right now. He stepped out of the library and started on his way to the tavern. He was surprised by how little his help was needed with the Guild War. Joe was under the impression that he would be called upon constantly, as this was supposed to be a war of attrition. Just as he opened the door, a notification appeared, and he was assaulted by a great roar of approval.
Every member of the Hardcores Guild is currently logged off. As they are unavailable to complete jobs for the city, all of their contracts are up for grabs with a 20% bonus to rewards. The city has levied a report against them. The Hardcores have lost 200 guild reputation with Ardania.
We won!
There was an excessively festive air in the tavern, and though a few groups were appearing with injuries, it seemed that the guild was in for an excellent few days. Joe made his rounds, healing people and making conversation. It was a fun night, but he had no plans to join the others in drinking 2 nights in a row. He eventually went to bed smiling. It had been a long, fun day. The following morning, Joe met up with his party, and they set out to hunt wolves. Since they were leaving just as the gates were opening, they would have roughly 16 hours of hunting before they needed to be back in the safety of town. They were able to set a quicker pace today because Joe found that as long as he walked with a spring in his step, he could spend a point of mana per step to allow himself to move faster. He laughed when the others looked at him strangely, but he didn't bother telling them that the secret to moving further than he should be able to was due to the fact that he was skipping. It drained a bit of mana with each step, but it was better than draining his minimal stamina. Everyone was smiling, infected by his cheerful attitude and the fact that they didn't need to worry about player killers for another few hours. As they arrived in wolf territory, Joe decided that his goal today was to finish his quest to heal half of the damage done in battle. With that in mind, he made sure to stay out of the wolves' line of sight. Tiona had taken a few minutes to explain how aggro worked. Apparently, it was a little different than other games. Pack animals, such as wolves, would try to take out the weakest link first, and that meant Joe almost exclusively in this case. If he were well protected, the attacks would usually focus on whoever did the most damage or generated the most threat. Healers were apparently still on this list, since they were a triple whammy of delicious for wolves, physically weak, and each spell cast was flashy and caused the animal to focus its attention on him. Tiona took to using Joe as bait, luring the animal in to attack before suddenly closing ranks and wailing on it from multiple sides at once. Feeling a bit put out that his best purpose in the group was to attract salivating killers, Joe stayed silent for most of the day and simply worked to heal people whenever they became injured. As the day of grinding was winding to a close, Joe finished his quest and looked over the messages he had been ignoring.
Experience, 420. Wolf killed, times 35. You have spotted 5 potential ambushes before they were sprung. Perception plus 1. Quest complete. Playing your fake role, 1. You have done well. The life of a chameleon may be exactly what you needed. Reward. Title, I'm a healer, I swear, gained. Gained 10% bonus experience when you heal at least 50% of the damage done during combat. Experience, 600. Quest alert. Playing your fake role, 2. Set another class as your active class.
This quest will be updated after doing so, based on the class chosen. Joe was bathed in golden light and lifted off the ground. His team gathered around him closely, able to receive some select benefits of Joe's level up. Namely, becoming clean in an instant. The euphoria zipped through him, and a wash of light exploded outward like a supernova. Fully clean and cheerful once again, Joe decided to allocate his characteristic points immediately. As much as he wanted to boost his physical stats, he had to be realistic. He wouldn't get more points to spend until level 6, and if he tried to balance himself right now, he would fall behind where it was actually important. Joe placed 2 points into intelligence and wisdom, and spent only 1 of the precious points on constitution. He accepted the changes, and felt a slight spasm as his body adjusted to its new levels. Opening his character sheet, he looked over his new stats. Name: Joe, I'm a healer, I swear. Class: Cleric. Actual: Ritualist. Profession: Locked. Level: 3. Experience: 3,023. Experience to next level: 2,977. Hit points: 50 out of 50. Modifier: 50 plus 10 per point of constitution over 10. Mana: 500 out of 500. Modifier: 12.5 per point of intelligence, plus 100% from deity. Mana regen: 5 per second. Modifier: 0.25 per point of wisdom. Stamina: 50 out of 50. Modifier: 50 plus 0 plus 0. Characteristic: raw score, modifier. Strength: 6, modifier: 0.06. Dexterity: 7, modifier: 0.07. Constitution: 7, modifier: 0.07. Intelligence: 18, modifier: 1.18. Wisdom: 18, modifier: 1.18. Charisma: 10, modifier: 1.10. Perception: 20, modifier: 1.20. Luck: 12, modifier: 1.12. Karmic luck: 0. Joe almost started laughing maniacally when he saw how much mana he had. If only he had some attack spells. He could rain destruction upon his enemies for days at a time. The party started merrily on their way back to town. Joe was ecstatic to realize that his mana regen was now fast enough that it refilled just as quick as it was drained when adding his jump score to his walking speed. It wasn't a fix for his terrible constitution, but it helped him to be less of a burden on the team as they strolled along. The joyful attitude and good cheer of the group started to dissipate as they left the tree line and the city came into view. A thick column of black, oily smoke was rising into the sky. They increased their pace, which left Joe winded and lagging behind them. Passing through the gates, they skidded to a horrified stop. The tavern they had come to love and see as a home away from home was engulfed in an inferno. Members of the guild were running around, trying to find a way to help while the guild leader was directing them and inquiring after the tavern owner. No one had seen him or his family, who lived in a room connected to the kitchen. Fearing the worst, and unable to douse the flames, the Wanderer's Guild was forced to watch, wait, and do nothing. Chapter 12. A somber mood had settled over the area, and the Wanderer's Guild was now scrambling to secure housing for the next few days. Joe wanted to help, but realistically, there was nothing that he could do. Deciding that becoming more prepared was the way to move forward, he started his journey to the Odds and Ends store to get his rewards, as well as to get his robe returned. A short walk allowed him to reach the store's entrance, where he had to wait a few minutes for the line to dissipate enough for him to enter. As Joe stepped through the door, the shop owner's eyes snapped to stare at him, and she pointed a wavering finger at him.
You did this? My days were nice, dull, and I didn't have to interact with many people. Look at this place. There are people everywhere. I might need to restock. Restock! I haven't had to order more goods for a full year. Get behind the counter and mind the till.
Quest alert. Attack of the extroverts. The Odds and Ends store has had a 1,000% increase in sales in the last hour alone. The shop owner demands your help in dealing with the customers. Rewards. Variable. Refusing this quest will reduce reputation with the Odds and Ends store by 500. Joe read over the quest notice, quickly accepting it and getting behind the counter to help with sales. People were going through all of the neatly organized items and finding prices better than anywhere else in the city. Clothes, bags, weapons, trade goods, specialized tools, all of it was labeled with a price that was a year old. Whereas most other stores had slowly increased the cost of goods as demand went up, this store had not needed to bother. It took a few hours, but the store was nearly cleaned out. Word had gotten out about the low price point. As night approached, even the people that had been out hunting cycled through. When the store eventually closed for the night, the owner looked around at the few scraps of goods that remained and sighed.
I'm just too old to deal with this. This may as well have been a going-out-of-business sale, because I really don't have it in me to outfit the place again. You did good work today. Thank you.
Quest complete. Attack of the extroverts. Experience 1,000. 500 times 2 for unintentionally creating the situation in the first place. Charisma plus 1. Luck plus 1. If the owner ever sells her shop, she will sing your praises to the next owner. Permanent 15% discount at this store location.
You've made so much money today, though. You were amazing. Cutting deals, negotiating like a champion. You knew the price of every single item in here without having to look at a chart or validate the information.
Joe was confused by her reaction to this good fortune.
You are a good child, Joe, but I don't think you understand. I don't need the money. I'm filthy rich. Disgustingly so. I liked to have people in here to chat with, to laugh as they dived into piles of gear, see their eyes shine as they found a great deal on rare items. That's all gone now.
She seemed terribly sad about this outcome.
People would. Ah, it doesn't matter. I think I'll find an apprentice. Pass some of my hard-earned knowledge on to the next generation. That'll give me someone to chatter away with each day at least. Only thing is, I've never found anyone I can stand for more than a day. You think you can help me out with that? I'd rather they worked to better themselves, but you can tell them I'm looking to quit if you need to.
Quest alert. Apprentice to a sage. The merchant sage of the Odds and Ends shop has decided that it is time to move on and wants to ensure that the shop gets a worthy owner. Find a person willing to become a merchant and send them for tutelage. Reward. Variable. Bonus. Don't tell the person they are going to work for a sage, and don't let them know they will get the shop upon quest chain completion. Bonus reward. Random artifact rarity item for your class, after the person you find completes their chain quest. Joe read the quest, his mouth almost breaking from the force of his jaw dropping. He accepted the quest and promised that he would find a worthy person. She nodded and smiled at him, handing over a ring and his robe.
That'll be 10 gold.
Eye twitching, Joe handed over the money and took the items. Looking over the cloak, he smiled as he saw that it was fully repaired. It had beautiful fractal patterns on it, and instead of being a muted gray, the robe was clearly made with various shades of shimmering purple. He frowned in consternation after he equipped the comfortable plush robe.
Wait, don't I get a discount now?
On anything you buy in the future, yes. We don't retroactively change agreed-upon prices.
The old lady cackled at his expression.
Ugh, Joe groaned at her. Anything I need to know about the ring?
Put it on,
she instructed brusquely.
It will use a couple points of mana when you put anything in or take anything out. The more intricate the item, the more mana it will use. Uncommon items will cost more than common, rare even more so, etc. Just focus on it and you will know what to do.
It uses mana? How can anyone but a sage or cleric use it? Joe's brow furrowed as he stared at the unassuming trinket.
Everyone has mana. It is just that not everyone knows how to access it,
the old woman declared with a snort.
Why do you think that anyone can go to the mage's college and become a mage with enough effort? When a person reaches their 10th level, they will automatically have access to their mana. That's when they rank up and specialize, after all.
Rank up? Specialize? Joe's ears perked up like a deer hearing a twig snap.
Well, of course.
She seemed to be irritated with Joe now.
How do you think we get people like... You have no idea, do you? When you get to level 10, you choose one of your classes to specialize in and rank it up to a higher tier. Yes, you can have multiple classes, but you pick one to focus on. Doing jobs that build your skill in this class will award class experience similar to jobs at level 5. That is why it is important to know what you want to do in the future so that the job you take will complement your class.
Joe's eyes were wide. He needed to get this information to his guild. It would give them a huge advantage over time if they were able to get various or rare specializations. Could you give me an example of a specialization?
What would help you? Oh, not dying is always good. Let's talk about assassins.
The old lady smiled grimly at the constipated look on Joe's face.
Yes, not a fun topic. At level 10, a rogue, thief, or other unsavory type can find a class trainer that will admit them into the rank of the assassins. They become even stealthier, and their blows change toward devastating. As they complete jobs and their class experience reaches the 10th level, they can specialize again. Here, they are released from their contract with the assassin guild that trained them, and they have a choice. They can become a death adept, a free blade, or a temple assassin.
Her face darkened.
Unless you are at the same class rank or higher, you will never know when you are targeted by them. You will simply die. There are some steps you can take to avoid this fate, though. A death adept stays with the guild that trained them, carrying out brutal assassinations that are designed to send a message to others. A freeblade is guildless and able to take any contract offered to them. Glorified mercenaries, but still dangerous. A temple assassin is, as the name suggests, taken by a temple and sent to hunt down heretics and groups of the opposite alignment. As a cleric, you have the most to fear from them.
Can they rank up after that? Joe's voice was a bare whisper. The slow nod of the merchant made his breath catch in his throat.
Oh, yes. Twice more. The path of the Freeblade brings them into politics and low-ranked squabbles. They can become, for example, an assassin a mark, followed by the final class, the assassin politico. Politics, toppling empires. Nothing is too difficult for them to accomplish. The Death Adept becomes an annihilator, then a Kingblade. They cut a bloody swath through any in their path, the need for stealth and secrecy left far behind.
Her words slowed.
I am a merchant, but that is only my job class. I was an archer, then a seeker, a treasure lord, and am now an arcane loot lord. The point here is that there are so many possible paths to take that it is impossible to know them all. What I have told you is only the tip of the iceberg. There are many unknown or hidden classes, and finding the requirements for all of them would be the work of a dozen lifetimes.
Joe digested this information, already trying to determine the best way to progress along his own path. He was the only ritualist, so unless he wanted to do something totally unrelated to his current class, he would need to find a different way to advance other than finding a class trainer. Perhaps. Is there any other way to rank up a class instead of finding someone to show you the way? She gave him a queer look, but nodded.
Indeed, there is. There are books, manuals, really, that detail the requirements for certain rankings. Some classes are even able to be purchased if you find someone willing to share their secrets for coin. Of course, you can simply fulfill every requirement that exists and pick from the results. Ha! Finding the necessary requirements is how people have their classes in the first place, but there is a reason there are now entire guilds devoted to the process.
Very difficult, I assume. Joe grinned at her. He had all the time in the world. Why not find the absolute best specializations? Any tips?
Humph. Any class rank worth having requires titles, titles, and then better titles. Start collecting those, perhaps. I'd still recommend finding a class trainer. Much less time-intensive.
She waved at the door.
Get out. I'm tired.
Joe thanked her and left, only remembering that he had nowhere to sleep as the door locked behind him. Well, dang. He was getting pretty tired as well. It had been a long day.
There you are,
a voice called out of the darkness. Tiona's face became visible as she walked towards him, looking him over before noticing the shop behind him.
Why am I not surprised that you are here? Trying to get the last good deal of the day or something?
No, I was working. I had a quest here. Even got 1,000 experience for it.
Joe grinned at her as her face blanched.
1,000? How do you keep pulling these random quests out of thin air?
She motioned for him to follow her.
If I am going to get to level 10, I am going to need big hairy chunks of experience like that.
It's pretty easy, Joe told her. I just keep asking them questions or offering services until they break down and finally give me a quest or let me do stuff for them. In this case, I organized her shop. There's no real need to fight all the time. This is more efficient.
To think I've been spending days at a time perfecting my skill as a warrior, learning the proper way not to die, fighting people and beasts to perfect my forms, when I could just color-code a few bags.
Tiona rolled her eyes.
Higher levels don't mean much if you can't do anything with them.
Joe searched for an answer to that, but had to concede. All right, fair point. By the way, was there a big open space the guild found to sleep in? I need to talk to the guild leader pretty badly. Just got some great information.
You know, you could just call him by his name.
Tiona snickered at him.
Yes, we rented an empty barracks belonging to the city guard. They normally only use it a few times a year.
Perfect.
Joe's eyes seemed to glow. Also, what is his name?
Really? You joined his guild and didn't ask his name?
Tiona punched him lightly.
It's Aten. He says he chose that name because he is so sexy that every time anyone looked at him, they would see Aten, so it might as well be official.
Humble.
Who in this game is humble?
Another good point. They walked in silence until they got to the barracks and needed to offer a password before they were allowed entrance. Joe walked right over to Guild Leader Aten, interrupting whatever else he was doing.
I've changed my mind about the guild.
You won out?
Aten sounded quite disappointed. Joe wasn't the first person to want to leave after they had lost everything they had stored in the tavern.
No, I want in.
You offered me a high starting position and good terms right off the bat. That's still on the table? Joe was all business right now. His time making sales had not been wasted.
It is, but... what changed?
Aten was pleased with this development. A permanent cleric was going to be a huge boon to the guild.
I got some new information. You have any of those contracts handy?
Chapter 13. Aten held his head in his hands. After granting Joe an officer position, he listened raptly to what he had to say.
Why have we heard nothing like this before? We all knew that the job we took would be important, but you are saying that if we don't find something that complements our future build, we may miss out on good specializations?
Yes,
Joe enunciated clearly. There were a few people taking part in this meeting, and all of them seemed shocked. Joe had asked for only trusted officers to hear this.
And so many possible classes!
Aten was pulling on his hair as he tried to think.
We were led to believe that anything beyond what is being offered by the city was a pipe dream. Joe, you may have just made us the most powerful guild in the game. I don't think anyone has reached level 10 yet, but some people are getting close, like Tiona and I. We need to start searching for these hidden trainers and learning what their requirements are. Now we have a plan, at least. This will help us move forward. This is good.
What about the hardcores?
One of the guild officers demanded.
They burned down the tavern in retaliation. I am almost sure of it. What can we do, though? We kill them, and they just come back.
Aten shrugged dejectedly.
It's unfortunate. But if we focus on them, we are just going to fall behind in our race to the top. At least we know why the guards are so frustrated now. They can't really hold us accountable for our crimes. It is going to be really difficult to grind reputation with them, but we need to find a way if we are going to become a noble guild.
Joe started laughing as Aten's words registered in his mind. The others looked at him strangely. But even when Aten angrily poked him, Joe couldn't stop himself.
We need to get reputation with the guards? Here? The city guards?
Yes,
Aten seemed exasperated. The cleric hadn't seemed so eccentric when he had invited him to the guild. Maybe his position could be one that didn't require attendance at meetings or interaction with anyone of importance.
Getting reputation with the guards is almost impossible because they are so suspicious of everyone. They know that you are trying to get on their good side, and it makes them trust you less.
Joe howled with laughter for a long moment.
And we need reputation with them. That's one of the last requirements for becoming a noble guild?
Yes. And knock it off,
Aten growled at him, crossing his arms.
Do you have something to say?
Show reputation. Human guards, Ardania.
Joe managed to choke out. There was a moment of bewilderment, but then all of the people in the meeting got a pop-up.
Reputation for Joe. I'm a healer, I swear, with human guards, Ardania. Current standing, friend.
Are you kidding me?
Aten shouted indignantly.
Friend? You already have friend status with them? How? Who are you?
I got it from my very first quest, Joe explained before the atmosphere could go from jubilant to suspicious. As a cleric, I was asked to heal a few guards. I may have gone a bit overboard, and I healed all the guards I could get my hands on. Before I knew it, I had fixed everyone and attained friend status. and there was no way for you to know you should be grinding reputation.
Light was glinting from Aten's eyes.
Joe, as an officer, you are supposed to get your own team. Since Tiona is also a guild officer, you two are not supposed to stay in the same group. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind throwing the leadership position out the window.